Welcome everybody, good afternoon and welcome to East Staffordshire Borough Council's Planning Committee the 21st of January 2020. My name is Councillor Greg Hall, I'm Chairman of the Committee. Quick introduction from members of the Committee then, beginning with the Vice-Chairman.
Councillor Vicky Gould.
Councillor Ed Barker.
Councillor Beryl Toon.
Councillor Colin Whittaker.
Councillor Chris Sylvester.
Ray Faulkner.
Councillor Graham Lamb.
Councillor Sheila McKeonan.
Councillor Alison Legg.
Councillor Bev Ashcroft.
Councillor Sue McGarry.
Now, at least we know who we are. Officers present today then, I have the Head of Service second to my left, that's Sal Khan. The Planning Manager second to my right, that's Ashley Baldwin. To my left is the Council's Legal Representative, Linda Bovey. So, a little bit of housekeeping before I move on to the agenda. There's no mobile phones or other devices, please. Can we switch them to interruptions? We don't have a fire alarm planned this afternoon. So if the alarm goes off, it is for real, and we need to go back out of the front entrance and assemble at the front of the town hall. Please don't interrupt any part of the proceeding this afternoon. We need everybody to hear what decision-making purposes. So, on to the agenda then. The first item is apologies for absence.
Mr. Chairman, we have from Councillor Brady.
Thank you very much. Item two, are there any declarations of interest from members? None. Thank you. Item three is the minutes of the previous meeting. Would members please accept the minutes from our meeting on the 10th of December 2019? Thank you very much. I will sign those minutes on your behalf. Item four, is there, I beg your pardon, Councillor McGarry.
Can I have abstain from those minutes, please, because I wasn't here in December.
Noted. Item four, any urgent business brought to the committee? I have none. So, straight on to the business of the day. Item 5 is planning applications. 5.1 is an application at Land off Forest Road, Burton on Trent. I'll ask Kerry Challoner to describe the application to committee, please.
Good afternoon, councillors. The first application we're looking at today is P/2019/00297. Which is Land off Forest Road in Burton-upon-Trent. The proposal is for an application under Section 73 of the Town and Country Planning Act for a minor material amendment for the demolition of existing garages to facilitate the erection of 83 dwellings, including access, associated infrastructure and an attenuation pond, without complying with Condition 2 of the original consent, P/2014/01304, in regards to the relation of substitution of house types for 43 dwellings. This slide just shows the site outlined in black. Of relevance is the yellow area, which is Outwoods Parish boundary, and we've got a little bit of Shobnal Parish also in the top right-hand corner of the site. Also shown on there is the settlement boundary, which is the red dashed line. Just got a couple slides just to outline what a Section 73 actually entails. An application can be made under Section 73 of the Town and Country Planning Act to vary or remove conditions associated with a planning permission. One of the uses of a Section 73 is to seek a minor material amendment where there is a relevant condition that can be varied. In this case, it's the plan number condition that we're looking at. the number two lists all the approved plans. A section 73 consent results in the granting of a new planning permission, and therefore the original permission remains intact as well. There is no statutory definition of a minor material amendment, but it is likely to include an amendment where its scale and or nature results in a development which is not substantially different from the original scheme which was approved. In terms of a section 73, we cannot revisit the principle of the original consent. In this case, the original planning permission is extant, meaning that the implementation of the scheme has been made and the developers could effectively carry on developing that site now with 83 dwellings. The original conditions are relevant, are very relevant, but they are refreshed in light of the proposed changes. There have been a number of discharge of conditions of the original consent, including drainage and highways requirements. So going back to the proposal, it basically seeks a substitution of 43 of the original 83 approved on the site. The approved access and layout of the site would remain as previously approved, and the landscaping and drainage details have been updated to reflect the new house types. The original application was subject to a Section 106 agreement, which provided for commuted sum payments for education, refuse containers, open space maintenance, a transport strategy and travel plan, off-site affordable housing provision, and also on-site there would be 12 affordable housing units, and I'll go into that a little bit more later. In terms of this application, all of these can still be secured by a simple deed of variation to make sure that we're still pulling through all of these payments and requirements. So just got a few photographs to remind us of the site we visited this morning. That's the access off Forest Road with the site in the background. There's the terrace properties which front onto Forest Road. View Forest Road. That's the site itself. You can see the topography, but pretty much everything remains as previously seen by your committee in January 2014. Just revisiting the original scheme, there was the approval had kind of there was two main roads in the development. There was a lot of open space, which included national forest planting, which is probably in the semi-natural green space. And there was amenity green space, which is more meaningful for kids to play on, etc., and a child's play area. I don't know if you can see the orange arrow on the right-hand side of the development. That is that's a link to the fields beyond, so you'd still have a pedestrian access through there. So in terms of the proposed scheme, the internal road layout remains exactly the same. The SUDS feature remains the same, although it has been updated on a technical basis to make sure that the drainage scheme still works. There's still a private access road being provided for residents in Forest Road at the bottom of the site. And that, just to confirm, that would be 5 metres wide, and the drainage from that would be part of the drainage for the whole site. So there would be drainage on that road, which would then feed into the drainage system, which covers the whole site. That doesn't really show. This one shows it a bit better, the dwellings that are being substituted. So they are all over to the left-hand side of the site, apart from two semi-detached properties, which are in the top right-hand corner there. The proposed house types have been shown. These are the new house types. So you have a mix of gable properties, a bit of rendering and so on, and gable features to try and break up the street scene. Just in comparison, got some of the previously approved house types, which of course form part of the other side of the site effectively. Again, gable features, rendering, quite a strong theme there. So turning to affordable housing, the original scheme required 12 affordable houses. They were to be 6 one-bed, 2 four-bed, and 4 two-bed. Got that wrong. Went the wrong order there. The main change has been the 6 two-bed apartments at the entrance to the site. They were previously one-bed apartments. Now, apparently, Trent and Dove have confirmed that they would take them apartments on, but there's less of a need for one-bedroom apartments, and that's apparently connected with bedroom tax. There wasn't as much of a take-up for one-bedroomed affordable housing as they thought there would be at that point in time, back in 2014. All of the affordable housing is to be affordable rent and taken on by Trent and Dove. Just to show members what the affordable housing would look like, the only change is to the two-bed units at the entrance to the site, and that's the main change at the other side of the blue arrow there. The property in the semi-detached in the middle, they're two-bedroom, and the bottom one is a four-bed. So that table just shows the difference. We don't have the 6 original one-beds. That's now been replaced by 2 beds. We've still got the same overall number being provided on the site, and the mix has kind of been dictated by the registered social landlord that would take them on. In terms of the housing mix will slightly change as well, and that's mainly in relation to the loss of the one-bed units. There's more 2 beds being provided, but 3 beds are around the same, and 4 beds are around the same level being provided. There you can see the percentages. In terms of the local plan requirement, it's not exact to the local plan requirement, but it's in the ethos of the original scheme. So officers consider that mix would be appropriate or acceptable. So it's just reminding us of the original layout of the development, which does not change. So we're moving on to the committee report. In terms of consultations, there were no technical objections subject to the original conditions and financial requirements. Some of the original conditions attached to the original consent have been agreed through the relevant consultees. So things like highways, what the conditions that they put on the original scheme have now been approved. So this is all linked through in the revised conditions at the end of the report. So just to confirm, County Council highways, education, the lead local flood authority, historic environment, and the architectural liaison officer, the Environment Agency, Severn Trent Water, the National Forest, Natural England, and the Borough Council's Environmental Health and Open Spaces team have all seen this application and raised no objections. 8 responses were received from local residents or neighbouring occupiers, and 2 of which have been in response to the recent consultation exercise. Because we've had the application for quite a while, we did put it out to consultation again just before Christmas. There is another application on the site which is separate to this, and it's flagged up in your reports. That is for changes to the right-hand side of the site, but that needs to be viewed separately to this application. The 8 responses from local residents raised objections to the permission that was granted in the first place, loss of privacy, concerns regarding highways impacts and lack of pedestrian crossings on Forest Road, the private rear access that's being provided for residents in Forest Road, how would that be managed and maintained? The drainage and flooding implications of the development, the impact on flora and fauna, and the impact on health, in particular noise and air quality. Shopnell Parish Council objected to the application on the grounds that it would adversely affect Forest Road, particularly in regards to highways. Outwards Parish Council, we had no response, and no responses were received from ward members. The policies that we've looked at are, well, that the application has been assessed against is the local plan, the design guide, the parking SPD, the separation distances and amenity SPD, the Outwards Neighbourhood Plan, the Shotwell Neighbourhood Plan and the MPPF. So in principle, it's important to note that this application already has consent and it's a significant material consideration. If the original application has been implemented, the applicant may go ahead and complete the original scheme if they wish. As such, the development has a fallback position and it's therefore, in principle, the scheme is acceptable. But that doesn't stop us looking at the design and the amenity aspects and the highway matters and so on. So in terms of design, it's considered that the design and landscaping is acceptable and reflects the approach taken in the original scheme. The development will result in a high-quality development which complies with the relevant policies. In terms of amenity, the proposed layout shows each dwelling is sufficiently distant from the existing residential properties and the neighbouring dwellings within the site to avoid causing any unacceptable loss of light or privacy or overbearing impacts. The development complies with the requirements set out in our new separation distances and amenity SPD. In terms of highways, the access and the internal road layout remains exactly the same. The original application was supported by a transport assessment which stated that the Highway Authority raised no objections to. The financial contributions attached to the original consent will secure monies towards green travel plans and towards the integrated transport strategy. This would be secured by a deed of variation, so we can make sure we get that. Sufficient parking is provided in terms of the new dwelling types, and that would meet with our car parking standards SPD. The proposal remains acceptable in highway safety terms and is within the parameters of the original consent. There are no heritage assets anywhere near, so we've got no historic environment issues. The flood risk and drainage, the site lies within flood zone 1, and as per the original consent, the application has been considered by all the relevant consultees. The Environment Agency, the lead local floods authority, have raised no objections to the drainage system being provided, and Severn Trent have confirmed that all issues in relation to the foul and surface water are adequately covered by a suitably worded condition. I should note as well, Severn Trent have given technical approval under a section 104 for the scheme. A scheme of ecological enhancement, which was originally formed part of the original approval, has now been updated to reflect the revised house types, which means that the provision of bird and bat boxes in specific areas has been updated to reflect the new house types. The mitigation scheme will be conditioned and is in line with the original approval. So in conclusion, the proposed revised house types continue to comply with the local plan, our SPDs, the Shopnell Neighbourhood Plan, the Outwood Neighbourhood Plan and the MPPF. The local planning authorities work proactively with the applicant to ensure that the economic, social and environmental conditions remain as per the original consent. And the recommendation, as set out in your report, is to approve subject to conditions.
Thank you very much, Kerry. So I'll turn to the public speaking schedule now. I've got Mr. Jez Elks from Outwoods Parish Council. Would you like to come forward and address the committee? I'm assuming it's Councillor Elks. It is, yeah. Welcome, Councillor. Hopefully you understand the public speaking protocol. Okay, in your own time then. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think there are two main areas that we were concerned with. One actually is to do with the service road behind the properties on existing properties on Shobnell Road. Should the residents wish to have their own access or their own car parking garages at the bottom of their gardens, they would need, hopefully, to have a dropped curb for the whole length of that stretch of the service road. Otherwise, there'd be make difficulties for them to access their own property for the vehicles if they so wish. So hopefully that can be a condition that the drop curb is along that side of the service road. The other aspect about the service road is that it's apparently 5 metres wide. A car is 5 metres long. There is no provision on that service road for cars to turn round. The service road on Shobnell Road a bit further towards Burton, the service road is 6 metres wide, and it has got a turning area at each end of the service road, enabling cars to turn around, and also wide enough so they could pass. The present proposals do not allow that to occur. And it may well be that residents won't use it because it is not fit for purpose at the present point. Also with parking, the numbers 48A to 55 Forest Road, which are basically at right angles to Forest Road near the chapel, they are to have their own parking areas. It's the original one-bedroom flats were going to be. We would like to think that those parking provisions would be able to be accessed by those residents before much in the way of development takes place. Otherwise, they will not be able to have any parking space with coming and going of construction traffic through their front doors, past their front doors, should I say. Hopefully, we'll also have a part of condition would be to have an efficient wheel wash, which there was certainly not on Hennesfield's development, and there were months of mud, with mud on the road, on Forest Road. An efficient wheel wash needs to be provided, I think. The final thing is house types. On plot 94, on the second part of the plans, if you like, which I know you're not considering today, but it does include the provision for affordable housing, which is basically the bottom right-hand corner for the geographers amongst us. Basically, it is going to be a large gable end, which will be at a higher level than the present houses. I'm just wondering if that could actually be changed in design or could be screened in some way with sort of, I don't know, just one or two suitable ornamental trees. We accept that the application is going to go ahead, but with these little modifications, hopefully the residents of the area will get some benefit from this development. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Oates. So next we have Mrs. Claire Henman. Would you like to come forward and address the committee? Welcome, Mrs. Henman.
Hello.
Hopefully you're familiar with the public speaking protocol.
I hope so. I'll try not to ask questions. Right, my concerns are mainly a lot of what's just been said, but also the drainage and the flooding. There seems to be increased flooding on Henhurst Hill, and it's actually, does the new development, has it taken into consideration, seeing as the plans were made in 2014, with regards to the impact that Henhurst Field has made, and the recent flooding just seems to be more and more frequent with the weather. And I would probably say also the provisions for, I'm a practice manager, for GP surgery. So what's the provisions for primary care support, getting access to GP practices? That's another concern. And just the general volume of traffic that will be going along the road on an already dangerous road. I'd moved into my property after 3 months and I had a drunk driver push the neighbour's car into my house. So what provisions are going to be made with regards to speed restrictions and safety aspects for a lot of the school, you know, students and things on the families on the road? Got Thanks. Lots more, but Kerry's heard me waffle via email.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Henman. So that completes the public speaking schedule. We can open up to committee for discussion. Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Chair. There's a couple of perhaps legal questions I need to have addressed before we continue. On the front page of our report, our agenda item 5.1, it says the ward is Branston, with the three ward members as Councillor Clark, Ackroyd and Grosvenor, whereas the report actually stipulates it's Outwoods and Shobnal, which is correct, and not Branston. So I'm just wondering if we should be changing our front page of the report to actually reflect the true status. And the second question is, it's the first time I've seen the the house types split into, or shown on the report today, in terms of the percentage in relation to what our local plan says. It's not in the body of the report. I haven't seen it in the body of the report, but I did see it on the presentation today. And quickly adding up what was shown on that, local plan requirement, 1 bed 3%, 2 bed 15%, 3 bed 29%, and 4 bed 23%. That's 70%. Where's the other 30%? And that's everything, yeah.
Okay, Kerry, could you answer the Councillor Faulkner's questions and then perhaps answer some other questions from public speakers? Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Faulkner, the housing mix, my table there doesn't show 5 bed. So that's the...
Surely we wouldn't have 30% 5 bed in Shobnull and Outwoods.
I can check that, but that's my understanding of it.
I mean, normally we have a preponderance for 2 bed and 3 bed, then 4 bed slightly less and 5 bed even less. Mm. And what you're saying is the 5 bed is the greatest percentage of all, and I don't believe that for a minute.
We'll check that.
We'll come back to that in a moment.
We'll come back to that, but I can confirm that the original scheme, the Section 73 on there, are correct. The percentages are correct on that.
Okay. So the description of the application, which ward it's in, and the ward members that are on the... Is it in Shobnall?
It's in Shobnall.
Ah.
Just to confirm, that is a typo on the report. It is actually in Shobnall and Outwards ward. As shown, I'll just go back to my original slide.
So, Chair, to make us legal, should we not be changing that during the meeting and have it signed?
I'm just going to adjourn for 5 minutes while the officers get the proper responses to those two technical questions. So thank you, Councillor Faulkner. Thank you very much for your patience. We are ready to reconvene now. Okay, Councillor Faulkner has raised a very valid question about the consultees on this application. So as a result of the correct ward members not being consulted, we will have to withdraw the application from the agenda. I appreciate that. Public speakers have come and spoken to us already this afternoon, and so apologise for your wasted time, and obviously you'll be invited to come back again if you wish to a future date. But we'll have to leave that item there and move on to the next. I don't know if anybody wants to stay, but if you want to take the opportunity to go, that's now is a good time. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. So we move on with the agenda item 5.2. It's an application on the land west of Uttoxeter for a school. I'll ask Alan Harvey to present the application to committee, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. This is an application for the school site, obviously, which we saw this morning. Obviously, I'm also conscious that in terms of the members on this committee, that we've got a whole range in terms of members that are aware of how far this site dates back from. So for those people who were here and were part of the outline process back in the day, I apologise, you'll know all this, but if not, obviously reasonably, I've got to try and summarise the best part of 5 years planning history, although obviously it's been set out in some detail in the actual committee report. So the application itself is a reserve matters application. So as such, it's bringing forward a scheme that's already been agreed in principle and is being delivered in line with what the outline planning application that was approved in 2015 required. And that was for the construction of a new first school and associated works, including details of access, appearance, landscaping, layout and scale. So effectively, members are looking at this in the same way as we've looked at all the phases, 1D, phase 2 and phase 3 on this site as we presented them at Planning Committee. So, in the overall picture, the score site there, highlighted in a big red arrow, sits within the larger context of the West of Uttoxeter Sustainable Urban Extension, which was approved in 2015. So, at this moment in time, we have, as a council, approved all the housing layout around it. So, to the south of the school site, you've got phase one, and that wraps round. And then to the north, you've got the phase two layout, which... Now, in terms of how work is progressing on site, as members saw this morning, for the most part, phase one is complete up to the school site, although there were some properties still needing to be built on the south side. Phase two is very much in a work in progress. Some houses have gone in initially to the north of the school site, so at least we can see the relationship there. And then most of the houses have been built across the road. So in greater context and a close-up, there's our school site again in red. There was some discussion this morning about the public right-of-way. And just to make it absolutely clear, the public right-of-way does not cross any part of the site. It goes round the outside of it and therefore was beyond the Harris fencing that we saw this morning. It basically follows at the back of the site, the route of the access road to moss beds, and then it follows the track into moss beds itself and then comes out in phase two of the development and goes across the Tunnicliffe Way. In terms of the actual history, as I said, the planning history is set out in some detail in the report, but effectively the starting point is the 2015 planning permission. It was granted in outline, it was granted in the context of the policies of the time, and it was granted in the context of supplementary planning documents of the time. As part of that process, it allocated a site for a school with a minimum of 1.2 hectares. It didn't allocate the actual specific location of the site, although members may recall that at the time there was a master plan that showed basically an illustrative way of how the site could be developed. Very much it has gone along those lines, although the school site has probably was more envisaged to go more to the north of where it is. But as time has gone on, and for all the applications that members have had in front of them for housing, the school site has very much been to the south of moss beds. So in terms of the context of the outline planning permission, the site meets the minimum standard in terms of size. It also at the time took into account, in terms of that size, the fact that the car parking standards of the time did not require a dropping off point. That has come into our own supplementary planning documents in 2017. So it's certainly worth bearing in mind that the context of the site allocation was in the context of the 2004 car parking standards. So, taking us through some photographs of the site, so smashing taking pictures on sunny days in the winter, but we're looking there now, looking northwards. We've come up from Bramshill Road and we're looking along what will be the Link Road, which will go through to the top at the A50. Now, in terms of the application from outline approval, that Link Road has to go in place by the time of the 501 house being occupied. At the moment in time, we're about 200 houses being occupied, so we're quite some way off. However, the infrastructure is actually being put in place now, and St Modwen's developments are saying that they anticipate that the Link Road will be complete by the end of this year. In terms of the actual school opening, that's proposed to be in September 2021. So the scenario is likely to be that the Link Road will be in place and open at the time of the school opening. However, as we'll come to later, there is actually provision in the conditions to deal with the eventuality of the Link Road not being in place. So this is a photo just looking across the school site, looking towards the northern boundary predominantly, where you've got moss beds, the property, with the farm in the farm, which has an agricultural haulage business there as well. That's always been there. That's always featured as part of any the outline scheme and obviously the phases as they've gone on. That's looking the other way, looking towards the south. So we're looking towards the Bellway site that needs to be built out. The houses that will run along the southern boundary of that site will have their back gardens adjoining the school grounds. And again, just a quicker view of the north side. And this is a bit where the IT decides to stop. There we go. Right. So, the proposed site layout plan. What we've got is the school sited with its front elevation facing towards the Link Road. In terms of its alignment, it aligns now, as revised, with the barns that are to the Moss Beds farm. I would say there's been quite a lot of negotiations to get to this layout, in particular in terms of the outlook from Moss Beds. So they're now looking towards what will be a planted landscape and habitat area, and an area that's, in terms of the access road within the school to the services, is actually protected by a 1.8-metre high acoustic fence. In terms of the provision at the site, you're going to have a car parking area for the staff, which will be a secured access for the staff only, and that's 27 spaces in line with the SPD. You'll also have two pedestrian routes separate in for the school, for the nursery, and for the first school pupils. You will also have the playing fields to the rear of the site, and obviously the formal play areas. What's been negotiated as part of the application is quite a strong landscape belt on the southern and the northern boundaries, which will be to the application properties in terms of Bellways, Moss Beds, and the new Phase 2 layout. In terms of elevations, what you've got is a relatively simple facade. This again was simplified from, which was quite a complex arrangement originally. So you've got some, basically it's going to follow in terms of materials, very much what the palette has been for the rest of the site. So areas of red brickwork and some areas of rendered panels. And then you've got copper-style clad into the upright, which will be the school hall, which will give a little bit of a focus point and glaze into the school entrance. And this is determined to give us a hard time today. This is the proposed rear and south elevations of the school. In terms of the proposed school plan itself, without going into too much detail, you have a pretty atypical layout for I call it a primary school, but it's a first school. So it's up to the ages between 5 and 9. The nursery provision is 3 to 5 years. You've got classrooms, and then you've got a hall which can be used as a sports hall, obviously a general hall for assemblies, etc. Right, in terms of the actual consultation process, without going through each individual one, all the statutory undertakers have raised either no objection or provided design comments specifically in terms of the architectural liaison officer. Highways England specifically have got no concerns in terms of the overall impacts on the strategic highway. And of course, given that fits in with the outline approval, then that would be envisaged that's the case. The county highways have raised no objections, subject to conditions and a travel plan. There's been quite a lot of negotiations and discussions, and I'll come to that later in terms of the dropping off points. In terms of publicity and representations received, the town council requested that the borough council deal with these issues. So secure an environmental plan, well, that already forms part of the outline of approval, and that's been secured as we've been going along on the phases. There's a concern about solid fencing and effect on wildlife, but there isn't much solid fencing. There's just the specific acoustic fencing. The rest of it has got no impact in terms of wildlife and is wildlife friendly. In terms of the parent drop-off point, again, that's a key issue which we'll return to. In terms of the proposed construction hours, the concern was raised about that and has also been raised by residents. That's actually addressed in the update sheet and the recommendation. But effectively, what the council will be recommending is that the construction hours follow the ones that Bellway and St Modwins have been pursuing on the site. The rural parish council have no comments, and there was no comments from the ward members. terms of local residents, there was two representations received at both outline and revised plan stage. One dealt with the construction hours, and the second one was in relation to the dropping off point. Again, we'll come back to that. So, taking things through, and I'm sorry if I'm going on a little bit too long. The principle of the development, the link road, its link is through, the terms of the layout, all the phases, they're all in place. So therefore, in terms of the actual principle of the development, there's always been envisaged a first school, and this is where it's, and this is now where it's being proposed. So therefore, it's in accordance with the principle of what we've set out to them in 2015. In terms of design impact on the character area, it's considered that the scheme as it's now been revised provides a suitable site and design for its setting and complements the character and appearance of the new build development without slavishly copying the designs. From a amenity point of view, as I said, there's been quite a lot of negotiations, and we're now satisfied from officer point of view there's no significant overbearing, overshadowing, overlooking impacts, and that it won't have an adverse impact in terms of residential amenities through noise, activity, light or dust. And again, if I just highlight, there's a number of conditions that specifically require that plans be put in place in terms of mitigation. There's no intervisibility with any heritage assets, so therefore that's not an issue in this instance. There's no drainage, flood risk or contamination concerns, again, for the simple fact that the infrastructure's already been put in place. No concerns also in terms of protected species. Councillor Sylvester mentioned this morning, and he remembers the issues that we had on newts. The site was actually cleared quite unusually under a degradation licence from Natural England, so therefore that's all been done. And the new scheme itself provides for new tree planting, and there's also bats and bird roosts as part of the scheme. On to highway safety. So there's been no objections from Highways England or the County Highway Authority, as I said, in terms of the impacts on the surrounding highways. The scheme doesn't provide a dropping off point as required by our 2017 revised car parking standards. And the County Education Authority point out it's not their practice to do so in the county, although given that officers have raised this issue on a number of occasions in the light of that new guidance, this issue has been looked at by the county in some detail, and as they rightly point out, the site cannot actually accommodate that because it was never envisaged to accommodate it in the first place. So, having spent about 12 and 13 months on highways and various other issues, obviously we got to the point where the county council was saying that they wouldn't provide the, and there wasn't the facility to provide the dropping off point. The county highways, obviously also being at the county council, officers thought it would be reasonable to commission an independent study. So I have it here. It's quite a long document, but I've basically surmised it in the presentation. So basically this company called SCP have reviewed the situation, and they recognise that in terms of on-street car parking issues, there may be conflict with residents' driveways, parking on beds in the vicinity of the junctions. There could be issues if the link road isn't open in time. There could be parking in the vicinity of the proposed bus stop. It's in the vicinity, or parking on the east side of the spine road necessitating pupils crossing the road. However, they come to the conclusion that subject to mitigation measures, which I'll quickly revisit in a minute, they conclude in overall terms, in line with the National Planning Policy Framework, it's not considered that the proposals will result in an unacceptable impact on highway safety or that the residual cumulative impacts on the road network would be severe. So effectively they're saying to officers, note your concerns, however, we don't think that that any potential impact would be severe enough you as officers to recommend to committee a refusal of planning permission. Just to again just quickly go over a couple of the things that was mentioned in the report from SCP. They looked at the likely resultant trip generations, for example, that it was anticipated that there'd be 54 vehicles arriving and 102 pedestrians in the peak period in the morning. And they also came to the conclusion that that obviously in terms of the management of the school that you can minimise on-street car parking with issues such as stewarding, pedestrian crossing facilities, traffic regulation orders, the staggering of start and finish times, and a school travel plan to encourage travel by non-car modes. Now, picking up on that, officers have specifically dealt with this issue in the recommendation that's going to committee and the conditions that come with it. So specifically, if I could refer you to condition two, what we're proposing is that a condition be put in place in which basically brings together the recommendations of the County Highway Authority and of the and of this council's highway consultants to bring a travel plan and traffic management plan together as per their recommendations, to take into account the various proposals, and for a review to be put in place within that traffic management plan. So, on that basis, and that's a wordy presentation, I'm afraid, and subject to the conditions outlined in the report at 24 and 25 during the various issues I've spoken about, officers are saying that we recommend that reserve matters be approved, and that needs to be subject to a deed of variation of the Section 106 agreement on the outline planning permission to secure the necessary travel and management plan with its monitoring fee that comes with it, and the conditions that are set out in the report dealing with the various issues, subject to, in terms of the informatives, that as per the update sheet, that the residential phases, hours of operation on construction be adhered to in this part of the process. So that would then read 7:30 a.m. to 8 o'clock, 1800 hours, I'll get it right, 6 o'clock, Monday to Friday. So that would be the change in informative 6. Otherwise, the report is as per the recommendation.
Thank you, Alan. So we move to the public speaking schedule. We've got the agent, Mr. Paul Dawson. Would you like to come forward and address the committee? Welcome, Mr. Dawson. Hopefully you're familiar with the public speaking protocol. Just give us a moment to set up the timer on the screen. Thank you. When you're ready. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Alan for a very detailed and comprehensive report. He's touched on a lot of the points that I wish to make anyway in support of the school. But I will run through them anyway, hopefully as a summary to councillors. The principal development of a first school was established with the approval of the outline application made in 2015. The need for places in the town was established through detailed and lengthy discussions between Staffs County Council School Organisation Team and St Modwin's Development. The school is expected to become an integral part of the community that is established to the west of the town. 150 school places, one form of entry, were determined as being required for children and families within the housing development from the start of the academic year 2021. And we are already on a tight delivery programme to have the school available, and the Borough Council's sensitivity to that is very much appreciated. Subject to the support of this committee, we need to be starting on site in May of this year, with a completion of the build in the region of June-August 2021, which will give us ample time then to fit out and commission the buildings ready for the children to start on this in September. Excuse me. The school places are provided for pupils within the housing development, and in the location proposed, the school is at the heart of the housing that spans between Bramshill Road and the A50. This is critical to enable the establishment of robust community links and day one, and a sustainable environment for travel to school. The latter we hope will have achieved by establishing a nationally recognised scheme of travel planning. And SCC advocates the use of the Mode Shift Stars, which for councillors is the Sustainable Travel Accreditation and Recognition for Schools Traffic Planning Initiative, which advocates and encourages sustainable travel to school. STARS is funded through the capital project and includes 5 years of monitoring, but critically is most effective for new schools where behaviours and attitudes can be influenced from the start of a child's journey through school. The first school will have parking provision for its staff, for visitors and for physically impaired users, and we will be installing electric charging points on the site. One of the areas that has been in discussion between the county, the borough and the developer has been the County Highways' concerns about the rollout of the development creating a cul-de-sac for those parents that feel they need to drive to school, and to, hence to the provision of a turning facility in the vicinity of the school. I'm assured by the developer that this won't be the case, and it is expected the completion, as Alan has suggested, by the developer of the road access and connectivity will be by the end of this year, 2020, well in advance of when we might complete the school in 2020, or expect to complete the school in 2021. I believe the school will be an excellent place for young minds to be taught, the school forming a constituent part of the relatively new Uttoxeter Learning Trust, a multi-academy trust that supports and develops a family of schools across the three tiers of education within the town. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dawson. So that concludes the public speaking schedule. Mr. Lamb.
Can I just ask some clarity on a few things first? Firstly, as I understand, can you just confirm, I think the question I asked before, is can you confirm the distance from the housing estate to the middle school? Can you just confirm that all the travel plans and everything have been based on the current size and not the potential one form entry size? And thirdly, although this is 1.2 hectares, I do believe the original 106 said potentially the County Council could have up to 1.8. So to some extent, they've made a decision on the size themselves.
Right, so the answers to the questions are it's 1.3 kilometres to it's the old field, the middle school. In terms of the size of the site, the requirement was for a minimum of 1.2 hectares, and the site itself is 1.29, so it actually is above the minimum size that it was required to be provided. It did go up to 1.9, but the minimum requirement was 1.2. Sorry, there was another question.
It was on the sizing. Was it all based on the 150 and not the one form entry? Because that is also mentioned in there. So
The application is in front of us is for 150. That's actually one of the conditions. It's condition 19. So actually specifically make sure that that was the case. So we're dealing with the merits of the case that are that's in front of us today.
Well, and can I commend the planners for getting an independent review done, because I think that was a sensible thing to do. Personally, I have some problems with the mitigations they're talking about. I think from what was said is that if potentially you've got children at that school and the middle school, then you're going to have to probably take a transport to get a car from one to the other to drop them all off. I can't understand where you're going to find a parking steward and who would take any responsibility for that. Staggered times, again, I can't see a school would really want to do that. And again, that creates problems with travelling between the backwards and forwards. I guess I'm struggling to see why we should support this on the basis that obviously what we've got in our new standards from 2017 seems very sensible. And I guess the other question I'm posing is that obviously the County Council's been working in a situation of austerity. The austerity we're now told is over, and does this give them more option to come back with perhaps a better solution? Because it seems to me, as a councillor who gets people complaining about school parking, as a governor at a meeting last night where we spoke a lot of time about school parking, you'd have thought, the thing that strikes me is that we normally talk about, oh, these schools were built 30 years ago and nobody would have understood the volumes of transport, etc., etc., etc. And you'd have thought that in today's society we wouldn't be creating ourselves a problem we know is going to happen. So I'm struggling to see how I can support this.
I take on board the councillor's comments, and I think like I was trying to get across to councillors when we were during the application process, is that from an officer point of view, we've exhausted the negotiations or the attempt to secure the provision of the dropping off point, and I've gone through the various issues why the County Council have said why they can't provide it. Ultimately, that left us in the position as officers that we have to give you a recommendation to committee, because we have to provide that as professionals, and that was done on the basis of the report from SCP. So what I will say to councillors is we've exhausted the negotiations and the issue, and therefore, as you rightly say, if you don't support it, that's obviously as members, that's very much up to yourselves. But as the process, I think we've exhausted it.
Councillor McKiernan.
I do agree with everything Councillor Lamb has just said. I think for the records, we ought to have the explanation minuted again. I know it was mentioned on the bus about why the County Council are not deciding this application. As a former County Councillor myself, I was used to having schools come to the County Council process and not East Staffsborough Council. As a mum of three, I can tell you that whether you live on an estate or not, if you have to get to work for 9 o'clock and you've got three kids to drop off, you will go in the car. And a lot of people still have two children with a couple of years in between. So I can envisage lots of parents with a child age two for the nursery and a child age four or five in the infants. They're not going to want to park down the road. They're not going to want to be lugging one child under the arm or making one child. It's just too difficult. I know you say the County Council have made the decision, but it's because of their policy. It's not what they're able to do. They are able to provide a drop-off zone. They've just decided they don't want to. And I think if we're in charge here in the borough, we ought to be cognizant of the realities of life doing that with your car for the foreseeable future. It's great having aspirations for the future, but right now we're in the situation we are. And as Councillor Lamb says, people...
To pick up the first point, I think I've addressed the second point already in response to Councillor Lamb, because we presented everything to committee in terms of what the applicant is asking for to be determined, and therefore we've commissioned those relative reports. In terms of the first point, the reasoning why the school is in front of members here is as the starting point of the planning history, the outline planning permission put in place the delivery of a school as part of this overall scheme that we as this council granted outline planning permission for. So therefore it's been brought forward as the detailed scheme as part of that outline approval. That's in the same way as the residential schemes have come to us. It's following the due process of the outline planning permission.
Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Chair. I likewise agree with what Councillor Lamb has been saying in terms of we should be pushing County Council for these turning areas and really imposing our will that this is part of our planning policy now, although it wasn't when the original request went in, it is now. And could we look at, please, the pictures of the street scene with the houses on the right, and let us see if there are any garages to those houses, because I've a recollection that there wasn't a garage to them. Now, if there are no garages to them, there's going to be cars parked on that side of the road. And if people are going to be bringing their children to school, that's not a wide road. It's quite a bendy road. There are going to be huge problems with the road getting clogged, a bottleneck. And there are going to be huge issues with people trying to get through, frayed tempers, etc., etc. I cannot see why we should not be pushing the County Council for those turning areas for...
This is a bit where I fill in whilst the planning officer comes out. It's like on the news. So if we can all remember the picture of the street scene, which we'll visit in a minute, on a serious point. In terms of what I can tell members is that all the housing in terms of the phases were all in terms of the bedroom sizes, were all allocated the amount of car parking that met the car parking standards. I can absolutely assure members that was the case. And again, I think as I say, there's no pretense that you're going to get people parking on the road, and that's been acknowledged by SCP. I don't think there's really much I can say about the highways other than what we've said already, is that and it's just really up to members to make that decision.
Yeah, I think it is the elephant in the room with this application, isn't it? And I think it's a desire for us as members to try to find any way that we possibly can to make sure that there are drop-off and pick-up facilities at new schools. And for me, it's very disappointing that there isn't that with this application. Just one little point I want to make about what you said, Councillor Faulkner, about policy, because I think it's important we understand the difference between policy and SPD. So the SPD sets out the requirement. It's not planning policy. So although it should be the starting point for any discussion. Councillor McGarry.
Thank you, Chair. My friend actually lives right opposite to the entrance to this new site, and they do have garages and driveways. I think you can get two cars on the drives. So ultimately, all those houses along that side have got garages and driveways. In terms of the actual site, I agree with what Chair's just been saying and everybody else with regard to it's disappointing that there isn't a turnaround site or any drop-off site there. But I think everybody should be mindful that Uttoxeter is a big development area at the moment. There's 700 houses that are going to need, children are going to need schools. The schools that are already there are bursting at the seams. I think in any school, whether it's an old school or you take the one, for instance, that's just on the way into Burton, that's a St Modwin's school, and you watch all the parents drop off on the pubs and at the side streets, somebody will find somewhere to park their car and walk their child safely. We're talking about children that are aged up to 9. I wouldn't let go of my 9-year-old's hand, whether I was walking or whether I was driving. So you will find somewhere to park safely and walk to school. And that's just the way things go at the moment, unfortunately. And that's every school, new or old.
Sorry, Chair, I don't feel like I'm sort of like backing what a councillor's saying, that it's got a similar view to the recommendation. But I think what the councillor's saying is this is exactly the same thing as the highway consultants are saying to us, is it's not the ideal situation, but the position is, the reality is, this isn't an unusual situation, and that's... they've assessed that process. So I don't think anybody's suggesting that it's not, that it is the perfect scenario. But what SCP are saying is that we acknowledge all that, but what in the reality of the situation is that it looks after itself because parents are delivering their children to school and make sure that they arrive there safely.
Councillor Whittaker.
Yeah, I think we all agree. We've all got the same issues with this, we're faced with it is what it is. We've got a site, it isn't big enough. I agree with Councillor Lamb when he said, you know, you should never put a school up with no room to expand because these always expand. And looking at that site, the first thing that's going to go is the habitat area if there's any expansion of that school. The car parking for the staff is going to be, there'll be no parking for the staff at that point because it's only just capable of supporting the staff with like two extra parking spaces for any visitors who go to the school as well. You also got to remember that it is sort of an HDV road as well going through that site. So there is going to be lorries trying to get through as well. It's going to be an absolute nightmare, but I think what we've got to be careful of is that the county council will blame us for this, like they did with the Link Road. That in future, I think we should make our remarks that we're not happy with this, even if we have to agree with it because it's what's on the table. But in time, they will blame us and say it's our decision. And I think that's one of the reasons perhaps why they didn't handle this application.
Councillor McKiernan.
I don't think we've got any issue with the fact that a school is needed. And I agree in principle with the school. I just wanted to query the numbers again. For the independent people said 54 cars a day. That's only a third of the potential pupils. And that doesn't seem the right balance to me. I think there'll be a lot more cars than that. And secondly, the car parking spaces, I think you say 27. That, again, a school is not just the teachers and the admin staff. There's dinner ladies, there's after-school clubs, there's visitors, there's voluntary activities going on. Schools these days are hubs of the community, and it seems to me you would need far more parking spaces than has been allowed for. Are there not some grounds we can use on that basis to say that we need at least a turnaround spot or somewhere for parents and visitors to drop off or park for half an hour or something like that?
Again, it sounds like a bit of a record, this, but the data is taken from Specialist Highway Authority, Specialist Highway Consultancy. So what they're using is they're using what they call tricks data outputs and trip rate management. What they're doing is they're using computer modelling, as is the industrial norm. So those are the figures in terms of the arrivals and the peak arrivals and the departures. They're based on a tricks, let's call it in highway terms, a tricks based method. And also takes into account, what you've also got to remember is there is actually 700 houses actually on the actual site itself. So if you started calculating the percentage of households that are likely to have children, I don't think it's unreasonable to come to the conclusion that there's going to be quite a high number of children on the estate. And the actual estate itself is very much a family, it's very much family housing orientated. I mean, because at the time, again, there was no controls in terms of the actual bed numbers. I mean, most of the housing on the site is 3, 4, 5 bedrooms. So the likelihood is there's going to be a significant amount of children produced in the locality when people move into the houses. So I don't think actually the actual trip calculations are actually probably unreasonable. In terms of the car parking standards, the car parking standards require that the 27 spaces, that's in our SPD, so therefore they have met the requirements, and again that's been cross-checked by SCP. So in terms of the reasonableness of the data and the information that's provided, we're talking it's provided by a national company using nationally recognised calculations. So I think in terms of that expertise, that's the reason why as officers we went out for that purpose. So I appreciate people may question the data, but it's been done on the basis of a very professional organisation.
Quick word from the planning manager at this point.
Thank you, Chair. So I think I appreciate the valid concerns around the sort of turnaround point. I think there's probably a risk we could get sort of circular on some of those points. And I think the key question in front of members here is not so much what you might sort of do personally. It's more whether it's acceptable in planning or highways terms. And as Alan's articulated, this is exactly why we commissioned this independent piece of work, which is undertaken by an expert, and that's led us to the conclusion and recommendation that's in front of you. So on that basis, we're content with what's in that report, and we, while it may not be perfection in what we want to achieve, it is ultimately a sound recommendation as far as we're concerned.
Yeah, I'm just looking back at the recommendations and with conditions, and the second condition number two, which is in itself indicates the importance of this issue with this application, because it's right near the top of the list of conditions: provision, enactment, and review of a travel plan. We've got several other members waiting to speak, so I'm assuming it's all on the same subject. Councillor Sylvester.
There's no provision for a zebra crossing, you were saying, Alan, where in fact I would say that two-thirds of the houses are on the far side of the main road through to the school.
That is the case. The County Highway Authority, again, didn't require one. SCP have said, haven't ruled that out, and therefore that's the reason why
the SCP report is tied into that condition. So the condition two of on the planning permission is effectively a pre-occupation or pre-bringing into use of the school. So that will be based on a review of the traffic management system. So it will fall within that review. That's the reason, because it forms part of SCP report, which is needs to look at the potential of pedestrian crossing facilities. It's difficult because I'm not a highway engineer, but I mean, at the end of the day, members, if they wish to be prescriptive, they can be prescriptive. I mean, that condition, if you wish for a pedestrian crossing to be specifically provided, you can ask for that to do so. The implications, we would have to go to the county. So if it was actually prescribed in the condition, it would have to be delivered. You could put it in a note, an informative, that councillors of the planning committee believe that a crossing should form part of that process, there's a difference. There's one prescribing, actually requiring it to be provided, or the other one is just to merely highlight the fact that it should be considered quite properly.
In order for a condition, would you need to have some evidence that we would expect there to be one?
Yes, Chair. I mean, the specific wording of the condition has been brought in for that process, because members may wish, for example, obviously that needs to be put in as an informative, but there's no reason why when the detailed plan, if it's approved and the conditions looked at, there's no reason why we as officers can't go back to SCP for it to be audited as part of that process, if that's what members wish us to do.
That's what I'd like to propose.
So, Councillor Sylvester, you're proposing an informative. And do you want to propose some wording for that informative?
Yeah, if you would, Alan, please.
Right. So, if we're going to condition two, what the informative could say is, with regard to the discharge of condition two above, the members of the planning committee would commend, in line with the SCP report, that due consideration be given to provision of pedestrian crossing facilities to serve the school. Be provided on the link road.
I'll second that proposal. Anybody wish to debate? Councillor Bilth.
Can we add to that some kind of traffic restrictions? Because I think we're not going to get a pulling and turnaround point. And I think, to be honest, if you live near a school, you'll know that people don't drop off and pick up. They'll drop off and park for a bit, then they'll be there hour and a half before school shuts, waiting for the child to come out. So it's you'll get your pick off and drop off, or chock a block with cars waiting and other cars parking on the road. So I think if we had some restrictions on the, I don't know how far we need them, WL lines for a certain amount of time between certain hours, that might do more. And I'm sorry they might have to walk a bit farther, but there you go.
Can I make a suggestion? Shall we have a vote on what Councillor Sylvester's proposed as an informative and then discuss any other informatives that we might want? Because I just think that makes it clear. If, rather than just having one informative, we might not choose to have any others, but with lots of things within it, if we just keep that simple proposal in mind for now that Councillor Sylvester's come up with about the crossing, have a discussion if necessary, vote on it. We can then discuss any other informatives or proposals that we might want to consider. Happy with that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Any debate on that proposal of an informative from Councillor Sylvester? Councillor McGarry.
Thank you, Chair. It's just a question, really, in terms of highways, because I'm like Alan, I'm no highway engineer. If you had a zebra crossing across, don't you have to have the poles either side with the flashing yellow lights and things, and aren't there some restrictions on how close you can have them to houses, or and then you're going to take some of the pavement up that people are actually walking on? Just...
Having dealt with the crossing for quite a long time up on Bramshaw Road, effectively, pedestrian crossings, traffic regulation orders all fall under the highway jurisdiction. So therefore, as officers, we don't get specifically involved in the technical aspects of that. But what I can tell you is that whatever process, because at the moment it's only informative, so therefore it's something that they would need to look at in terms of whether they can achieve everything they need to under the traffic regulations. But going back to SCP's report, which is already tied into condition two, is that traffic regulation orders was part of their recommendations as well to look at. In a sense, you can kind of keep on adding informatives that you look at everything in the SCP report, but actually that's already embodied in the condition anyway, because I've specifically referred to the County Highways Form X, which is their conditions, and they've also suggested highway regulations. So in a sense, there's a degree of, as the local planning authority, we have controls, and what we're saying to them is if we approve this, we're saying to you, we have these concerns, and we're saying to you, you need to get a traffic management plan and travel plan in place. To do that, and we're talking about, so we've kind of talked about the blame culture, ultimately at the end of the day, the only way that those provisions can get put in place is under the Highway Acts. And the Highway Acts require to put those things in place that an order be made and that consultation take place on that as well. So if we go to the, for example, onto the conditions page again, and going back down to the informatives, the Highway Authority particularly highlight, for example, when Gus School keep clear road markings, that's in informative 9, they talk about the fact that requires a traffic regulation order, so as would a pedestrian crossing. And you can't prejudge that as the Highway Authority, and what they're saying is the developer should know that they should contact the County Highway Authority at the earliest point in time, because there's a traffic regulation order can take up to 9 months, and there's no guarantee of it because it's part of the Highway Acts. So we can only go we as the local planning authority can only go as far as the condition that we've put in place. But ultimately, it'll fall with the County Council under the highway regulations to regulate the activities around that school. So we, as the planning authority, are judging the school and its likely impacts. But ultimately, the County Council will be responsible for what happens around and about that school, because as they'll be both the education authority and the highway authority, which is why we've audited it from SCP's point of view. Sorry, again, a lengthy answer.
So we have a proposal which is seconded for an additional informative. So I sense that we have covered quite a lot of this ground, and we're now in a position where we should vote. Councillor Bilf.
About the traffic regulation. Thinking about it, people need to be consulted on that, don't they? We can't just put very much same as the pedestrian crossing. So it might be a point, once this is in place, then we as an authority can request traffic regulations, i.e. double yellow lines or time restriction, from the County Council, can't we?
What the condition? I can go back to what I was trying to say. The condition requires a plan to be produced to us, and as part of that, they have to put in a review procedure. So, that's really what I was trying to say as well. Is that to members is that it might be a good idea to back us as officers, because we have to pay for it as an authority, to go back to SCP when we have that plan come in to discharge the condition, for them to review it again as professional highway engineers, and therefore they're looking at it in conjunction with the County Council on our behalf.
Sorry, was that recorded? Councillor McKinnon.
I was going to say something else, but I just want to clarify then. Have we got any powers at all to ask for a drop-off zone? And if so, I'd like to make a proposal.
The drop-off, we haven't got a proposal to put a drop-off point, because the County Council is saying they won't provide a drop-off point, and they want the application to be determined as it stands. So we can't introduce as a planning decision a requirement for a drop-off point. If members want to come to a conclusion that they want a drop-off point, they would have to defer a decision on the application and go back and request the drop-off point. The only thing I can say from an officer point of view is we've spent 12 months doing this, so they know the view of the borough council as officers as trying to get a drop-off point. They've got to the point where they're saying they're not going to provide one. They've given the reasons why they're not going to provide one, and we've put it out to SCP. So we can't impose on the County Council a drop-off point as a condition of a planning permission, because that goes beyond our role as the planning authority.
I just find it very frustrating. I was going to answer the planning manager before, in that, you know, it's okay that the planning officers are satisfied, but the whole point of bringing it to a committee such as ours is that you get that extra layer of common sense, you know, what the community think. And if the community think we need a drop-off zone, I think we ought to be able to put that somewhere into this application. Otherwise, I can't support it at the moment.
I think the difficulty for all of us as members is that we're required to make decisions, and we need to make decisions based on whether something is acceptable in policy, and whether any mitigation could be dealt with conditions. Now, we've got condition two, which is quite an onerous one. I very rarely see a more onerous condition on an application than condition two on this proposal. And that there's a lot of detail behind that proposal recommendation condition two, which Alan's been talking about at length. Yes, I think if you asked any of us around this table, would we like to see drop-off pick-up parking facilities for that school? Yes, of course, we all would like to see that. Question is, can we refuse the application because there isn't one? And I'm suggesting that I don't think I can. So I've got to vote for it, despite there not being that facility with the application. Councillor Barker.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I think we've got a fait accompli in that respect, because we've got the highways opinion, and we've got an independent opinion from SCP that says we can't have a drop-off point. I think the best plan of mitigation towards it is Councillor Sylvester's suggestion of a zebra crossing, because that gives them extra chances to park in different places around the estate, and it means that more people can walk there safely. But I think really we're dealing with we aren't going to win if we say no, we're not going to accept it, because there are two main experts against us, and I think we've just got to take it on the chin, and that's how it's got to be.
Councillor Legge.
Thank you, Chair. Could I ask, is there going to be barriers, safety barriers, outside the school, and if so, how many, please?
The,
The answer to that question is yes, there is going to be safety barriers, and they're at least going to be at all the vehicle and the pedestrian entrances. Again, it's covered by condition. It's I'll get you to it. 13. School keep clear road markings and pedestrian guardrails at the school entrances to be provided in the course of a scheme to be agreed.
Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Lamb.
Can I make one point? I think it's very disappointing that the County Council don't actually bother to bring somebody here to answer the questions and unfortunately leave the planners having all the difficulty here. Because obviously it was a very contentious thing anyway. Secondly, I would struggle to say we should vote against the school, but I would certainly suggest that we should consider deferring on the understanding that the County Council might fully understand the concerns of the Planning Committee and may decide that they should actually look slightly differently. Because I do believe, and I can't find it, but I do believe there's something in there which does talk about that the parking area for evening events potentially could be used. So it just suggests that there is an option. That's the playground area. Obviously, it can't be used during the start and end of school, but they do seem to say, well, you could have something in there at the night. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that some sort of solution could be thought of.
Sorry, Councillor Gould.
Hi. We have seemed to be just going round and round on a certain point of something we really can't control. We can say how disappointed we are. And as we can't get much further, I would like to propose that we put this to the vote, and I'd like to recommend that we go with the officer's recommendation, please.
Subject to the change in the update report to the times of construction and the additional informative.
And the informative of Councillor Sylvester.
I will second that proposal. So we have a motion to permit. Any further debate? Go to the vote then. All those in favour? Against? Abstentions? That is carried. Thank you very much. That concludes the applications on the agenda. If anybody wants to take the opportunity to leave the room, Item six is to note the report of appeals received, withdrawn, and determined. Thank you. Item seven is to note the report of planning applications. On item seven, yes. Councillor McKiernan.
Sorry, it was just the, what's it called? The cellar door at Craythorne. The question was, is that a microbrewery or is it a cafe?
Can you take that up with the planning manager after the meeting? Thank you. So that concludes the public part of the meeting. We're going to move into private session, but I notice all the public have left. And the enforcement officer is coming down to talk to us about item eight. So I'll let Monica go and switch the recording off.